We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Welcome into Beers on Us with Mike Lynch and Patrick Harris. Thanks so much for listening. Wherever and whenever you're listening, it's probably beer o'clock, and we've got a lot of good stuff coming up for you right here on the podcast starting right now. Welcome back into Beers on Us with Mike Lynch and Patrick Harris, episode number 41, beer names. But I think I just want to call this names.
Names.
Because I'm also going to add a second. There's two tiers of this conversation that I want to have that we'll get to here in a couple of minutes. By the way, thank you guys all so much for the good feedback and listening to last week's episode, the tasting room number one. It was just a really great idea that Patrick had. It was a lot of fun to record, and we're excited to do more of those as we keep going. We got a lot of good response on that, so very much appreciated.
Yeah, ran into some people on the streets that were just kind of like, this was great, I really enjoyed this, blah, blah, blah. Great idea, da-da-da-da-da. You guys really executed. I look forward to more of those, so thanks for that. And shout out to my buddy Todd. He jumped off his motorcycle. I saw him randomly on Mississippi.
That sounds dangerous.
Well, he parked it. Then he jumped off, and he was like, yeast and corn. I was like, yeast and corn?
What?
And he was like, yeah, that's what makes a Mexican lager.
Oh, interesting.
So I was like, thanks, Todd. Yeah. So it has to do with the yeast, and obviously they make it in Mexico where corn is very, you know, there's a ton of it. And
I very much enjoy.
I know. He just said yeast and corn. Said it twice. And I was like, hey, dude. What's up?
I'm picturing in my head a guy driving on a motorcycle, seeing you out of the corner of his eye, leaping off of it, having it skid into traffic, and he just yells out, hey, Patrick, yeast and corn.
Goes back, picks up his bike.
Yeah.
Just drives away.
As he's going away, yeast and corn!
Flames shooting out of the exhaust port.
Well, thanks, Todd. And also thank you to the listener. You said she dropped it off for me for finding the second in the Hellboy series, the Chocolate Mole Stout, which is now in my fridge.
There you go.
So thank you very much, whoever that was. And do you happen to know their name, or did they just drop it off?
Oh, yeah, it's this guy, Sean.
Oh, it's Sean.
Sean Lynch. His name is Sean Michael Lynch, in fact.
Whoa.
Whoa!
First, I thought you said it was a female, so sorry for calling you a female, Sean. Second, that's awesome that your middle and last name is my full name, basically. Let's go Lynches, I guess. I'm really excited to drink that, so thank you very much for dropping that off, and I very much appreciate that for sure.
Are you saving those empty bottles?
No, I have not been. Oh. Did you want me to?
No. I was just they're cool artwork, and you're really excited about the series.
I was excited about it more for the actual beer versus the art. That's one thing, and we can talk about this at some point, probably on the podcast. I have no interest in saving bottles, but I know a lot of people do. So maybe the fact that I had the first two people are like, oh, you didn't save them, and I was like,
gasp!
I drank them. That's the point of the beer, right? To drink the beer and try it and be excited. I don't know. That's just not something that really interests me. But so apologies if that upsets anybody, but we can also talk about that at some point. Thank you again for tweeting at me more of stuff that you're drinking. I've seen a couple of buoys come through on my tweets. I saw Dunkel from Buoy come through yesterday. So appreciate all those pictures and letting us know what you're drinking. And
Yeah,
you got anything on Insta?
I got a great one on Instagram, but I can't talk about it because it's next week's beer of the week.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So I don't want to ruin it.
Okay.
But it's an exciting one. I'm very, very pumped for this. I haven't had this beer. I've been dealing with some allergies, so I can't. Today is the best I've felt in like a week. I feel fantastic. Ready to be able to taste some beer. But yeah, I tried to taste some beer throughout the week and couldn't really taste anything.
Reach out to us on social media with whatever you're drinking or any topics you think would be interesting for us to talk about. I'm at Mike Lynch 27 on Twitter. Patrick is at PDiddy085 on Instagram. You can just shoot us some messages and let us know what you're drinking. And if you've had anything from what we had, I got a lot of response actually when I sent that picture out of the five beers we tried last week of people who had certain beers and that they were interested to hear what we thought. A lot of people had the Barrelick Juicy Hazy, the double bubble gum thing.
Yeah.
And they were like, that was so good. And I'm like, well, when you listen to the podcast, you're going to find out that it was a hazy and that we were not quite as into it as you were. But
yeah.
Hey.
But I'm glad you liked it.
To each their own.
Yep.
And you are totally clear to have whatever taste that you'd like. Also, Cinco de Mayo is coming up this weekend.
Cinco de Drinco.
And it'll be interesting to see. I saw a couple of other Mexican-style beers out there today when I was grabbing Beer of the Week. That is not what I grabbed, by the way. I saw them on the shelf, and I went, right, this is the exact time that these kind of beers would come out.
Yep.
It's perfect timing. So go try some of those out there. There's some good, really good breweries making Mexican-style lagers and stuff. So go give those a try, and maybe it'll help make your Cinco de Mayo that much more fun or drunker if you want it to be.
And Saturday is May the 4th be with you.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right. Always, every year.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm a Star Wars fan, but not that kind of a Star Wars fan.
Yeah. May the 4th be with you. Then you have Cinco de Mayo and then Revenge of the 6th.
Is that just one you made up?
No. That's a classic one from being just like completely hungover after Cinco de Mayo.
Are you dressing up for May the 4th be with you? Because I know that you are a Star Wars like super fan.
I am a super fan. I am not. Although there is a big Star Wars event at Imperial Bottle Shop in the Hollywood District.
Okay.
They're going to show Star Wars movies and they have a bunch of beers on tap their names. Maybe I'll pull this up. This could be a good one for this because their names of these beers are all kind of Star Wars themed.
Ooh.
It sounds like they've got a ton of beers on draft, and they're going to be playing Star Wars movies, and I'll probably make an appearance down there.
That's pretty
cool. In
between
the Liverpool and Timbers game.
That's pretty cool. You can find this podcast everywhere that you find podcasts for the most part. We are on Apple Podcasts. We are on Google Play. We are on radio.com. We are on iTunes is Apple Podcasts, Mike. We're on iTunes and Apple Podcasts. We're on Stitcher and we're on 1080thefan.com. Wherever you find us, if you have yet to do so, please shoot us a subscription and give us a comment and a rating. It just helps push the podcast out to a couple of more people when you do that. So if you have, great, thank you, we love you. If you haven't yet, feel free to do it because it's awesome and it helps us out.
And be honest.
And be honest, yes. You don't need to just shove 5 stars up our face, although you can if you want. But just be honest and feel free to share your thoughts in the comments. On the podcast list. Before we get into names this week's topic, quickly, our week in beer. I got to try a new place this weekend, was very unexpected. Actually, it was on Tuesday, a couple days ago. And my wife and we were doing this Tuesday night date night, and it's usually a movie night, but we weren't really feeling going to the movies this week. So we were like, what do you want to do? And I was like, well, we could just go to a neighborhood that we haven't really been to and just kind of walk it and stop in a couple of places and have a drink here and grab some dinner there or whatever.
Yeah.
And we went up to Orenco Station in Hillsboro, which is a place we have not been to basically at all. And it's just, for those who don't know, it's kind of just like a brand new built up area in Hillsboro where there's tons of restaurants and bars and apartments and condos and stuff. It's all kind of brand new. And we went over there to walk around, and Mazama Brewing has an Orenco Station location. It is originally a Corvallis brewery, but it has an Orenco Station location. And we were like, well, we'll go in there and try it.
Sure, why not?
And they do Belgian style beer or Belgian inspired beer, but they also have kind of a large variety of regular kind of Portland style beers as well. Mm-hmm. They had some dark ones. I saw obviously a couple IPAs. They had a pail on there as well. So they had a full range of beers, and it was a cool spot. And I've not been to the Corvallis one, but this was brand spanking new, you know, kind of just kind of like the other breweries, brand new breweries, clean lines, wood, cool looking bar.
Do they brew there, or was it just a tasting room or restaurant tasting room?
Not 100% sure. It was a pretty small space, so I'm going to assume it's just a tasting room and a restaurant, but that could be wrong. And yeah, it was a cool time.
It was a cool spot.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think I've ever been to Hillsboro in my entire life.
There's not a lot that you're missing.
I've driven past it many times.
But that is a cool, that's a cool little spot in Hillsboro if you are stopping in Hillsboro.
Maybe I'll check it out. Beers on the way to the beach.
Yeah. Anything special you do this weekend?
No, not really. I mean, I drank, but I couldn't taste anything.
Oh, that's right.
So it's just like, hey, this beer's kind of good. Let's be great.
Yeah, you were telling me yesterday that you had this experience at work where you had this beer that you were like, that's not so bad.
Yeah.
Like it was at the bottom of the keg and someone tasted it and was like, ugh, take that off immediately.
Yeah. So I run into a situation where every once in a while, it doesn't really happen often where you get a keg and you got to kind of like pay attention to it, need to make sure it's clear and it tastes good. And I poured a bunch through and finally got in. It was clear enough to serve. It was Breakside IPA, and I can't smell, which means you can't taste. So, of course, I instantly try to smell it. I'm like, what am I doing? I can't smell anything. So I take a little sip, and 99 out of 100 times, these kegs are totally good, but yeah. It's the quality control check, just to make sure. And even when I feel good about it, I'll still run it by somebody.
Go listen to our quality assurance episode.
Yeah, that's a good one. And even if I feel 100% confident about it, I will still double check with somebody else just to make sure that we're all on the same page. And I tasted it and I said, oh, it's a touch more bitter than normal. Hey, Greg, what do you think of this? And he took a sip and just went, oh, God, no, take that off right now. And I'm very, very glad I asked somebody. Otherwise, people would have had some very disappointing,
Well, thank
some
you.
Disappointing beer.
Thank you, allergies.
Yeah, right. No kidding.
Well,
to just reinforce, like right. I said, that kind of stuff for us doesn't really happen a whole lot.
I'm pulling the curtain back
a little too much right now, to be honest. But it's okay.
That's why you do quality checks.
That's
right?
Why we do quality checks.
All right, so let's get into the episode of the week names, and I have two different tiers that I wrote down in my notes here, and we'll start with tier one. Tier one is a brewery's actual name.
Ah.
The name of the brewery.
Right.
How important is it? Why are they named the way that they're named? And what do you prefer in brewery names? And I guess I'll start and I'll say generally, I could give two S's what the brewery's name is.
Yeah.
Because if it's good and you like the food and you like the beer, it will just become part of your lexicon. Mm-hmm. And you will say it without even thinking about, oh, that's a cool name, or oh, that's a silly name, or oh, I don't understand why they called themselves this, or whatever. Mm-hmm. If it's a good thing, if it's a good place, you will go and you won't even think about it.
Right.
I do think that having a cool, unique name is helpful. Mm-hmm. It adds a little something extra to it, I suppose. The first thing that popped in my mind when I said that was Bowie.
Yeah.
It's a simple name. If they were called Astoria's Big Beer Brewing Brand, I mean, but they were great, nobody would care,
yeah.
Right? You would just be like, hey, I'm going to ABBBB today. Yeah. It wouldn't be an issue, but...
Yeah, you come up with some sort of
acronym for
it. Thank you. Like Austin Beer Garden.
Yeah.
ABGB.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's a cool name, mm-hmm. and they kind of have a whole Bowie River Ocean theme there, which is just kind of perfect, and it fits, and it's cool, but I think that's just an added benefit. If the place makes good beer and good food, I don't know if the actual brewery's name matters much.
Yeah, I think the big part where it comes in, I think there's almost two routes you can go in as far as the name of the brewery itself. You have one aspect that is like regional. Like, where are you? Deschutes Brewery, on Deschutes. That makes sense.
Yep.
Sun River, on Sun River. Okay. There's also, you know, there's also something about that as well that ties in with like somebody's name. Tyler Brown owns Barley Browns. So that there's that kind of access. That stuff is kind of the simple, more straightforward, easy stuff. Then you have things like one of my favorite breweries on the East Coast. If you go back and listen to the Asheville episode, High Wire Brewing, which I'm actually wearing a High Wire t-shirt right now, and my sunglasses are locked in the sports studio right now, but they are High Wire Brewing, and their entire thing is like tightrope circus kind of themed. So they tie that into their whole theme, and that kind of works. And then there's other places that just kind of have names.
Yep.
And they work. I think the places that just kind of have names and they work tend to work because they make a good product.
Right.
Otherwise, you need to be somebody like, if High Wire made bad beer, but you went in and it was this really cool environment, and you know, it was this, they have like their mass production facility, and then they have another location that's called the Big Top sort of thing. So it's like you tie that in, that creates a little more of a, like an atmosphere, a little more of a culture, kind of almost a shtick to a point. But I think I'm kind of with you. I think sometimes I hear brewery names, I'm like, that's a really dumb name, but that is a damn good Pilsner.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, you just kind of roll with it.
Exactly. That's kind of my thought, was just, it doesn't really matter as long as it's good. But I didn't even think about that. Yeah, some have themes to their names too, and if you go to that place, there'll be a little bit of that going on. Mm-hmm. And I guess Bowie is kind of like that.
Yeah,
but,
definitely.
But yeah, so that's just kind of where I wanted to start with this. There's not a whole lot to get to there. I feel like naming a brewery is up to the owners, and if they have some personal thing they want to throw in there, then great.
Right.
If it's regional, I mean, Rogue is also regional, yeah, with the Rogue River, but is that it's the Rogue,
yeah,
River, right?
Yeah.
And it's also, there's way more than just the Rogue River. There's Rogue everywhere down there, isn't there? There's like the Rogue this and the Rogue that, and it's like everything is Rogue.
Oh yeah, maybe I'm not sure.
Anyway. So I just wanted to start with that because it's kind of simple, but it's also important in its own way. But then we get to tier two, which is naming your actual beers.
Mm-hmm.
And in tier two, I have written four types of naming things. Okay. Rules, I guess. Number one, simple.
Sierra Nevada Pale Ale.
Whoa.
We already said whoa.
We did?
Together.
When?
When we were laughing about motorcycles.
Oh. I didn't even know that.
I know, I almost slipped it in, but I was waiting.
yeah, that is exactly one.
Sierra Nevada
there.
Pale Ale.
Right. I was going to say any brewery names it IPA.
Yeah.
Right? Or Pilsner.
Mm-hmm.
Freem does that. Yep. Breakside does that.
Freem IPA.
Yep. Breakside IPA.
Yep.
So that's number one. And the way I look at that is it's fine. And if you make an iconic beer that is really, really stinking good, then I think that is a totally acceptable name to have for your beer because it kind of goes past the point of saying, oh, it's a pale ale, to, oh, I know Sierra Nevada Pale Ale.
Right.
However, I think you need, oftentimes, I think, at least to me, you would need a little more punch than just saying, this is pale ale.
Right.
Because then you're going, cool, I had this pale ale from this brewery, but I have had 100 pale ales in my life and I can't really remember which brewery that was from. So I think if it's the best on the market, then I think that's totally okay and it kind of sets it apart.
Mm-hmm.
But generally I don't love the simple names.
Well, I hope I'm not jumping the gun on this, but I think what's exciting about breweries that have some of these iconic beers that give them names, and if we're getting into that in a second, I don't want to jump too far. I think that is more exciting because then you can kind of tell if you see this brewery has this iconic beer and then then you see a different name on that same style from that brewery, you kind of go, ooh, a different one, as opposed to just seeing Freem IPA. It could be a different Freem IPA and the bartender didn't write it on the room correctly or
I
something
see what
like
you're
that.
Saying.
But you would be like,
so in that sense, you're saying that it helps that brewery sell their other IPAs because their classic IPA is great,
mm-hmm.
and that's all it's called. And then it's like Freem Mosaic IPA.
There you go.
And you're like, huh. But again, that's very simple. That's just kind of like, this is what the beer is.
Right, right. But it's like it's like you give a beer an iconic name like Boneyard RPM. Like everybody knows that beer.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden Boneyard comes out with Hop a Wheelie. And you're like, whoa, that's not RPM. What's that? And they're like, oh, it's a new hoppy beer from Boneyard. And you're like, well, I got to have that.
Yeah, duh.
I love RPM. I got to have that. You know, Pallet Jack's the same way from Barley Browns. You've Pallet Jack for decades and decades for him. And then you see a different Barley Brown IPA and you're like, oh, what's that? I want that.
Number two on this is descriptive.
Mm.
Where this is, it could be kind of just the Mosaic IPA,
yeah,
right? Because that
totally
describes the hops that are in it.
Bright Pale, another example from Freem.
Yep. They do a lot of these, mm-hmm. before we get to the other versions of names here. You've got like Juicy IPA,
mm-hmm.
right? Which is a good hazy descriptor, or hazy IPA, mm-hmm. for that matter. So it's not just a simple name, but you also are getting a description of said beer, a chocolate porter or a chocolate stout.
Yeah.
You're getting a description of the beer with also just a simple description of what style of beer it is as well.
Yeah. Isn't Belching Beavers just their peanut butter milk stout?
Yep.
Or does it have a name?
I think that is just their peanut butter milk stout.
Yeah, that's just their name, yeah.
Yeah. So I kind of enjoy those because, at least to me, then I know what I'm getting myself into.
Mm-hmm.
If you're looking at a can and you see that it says chocolate stout for me, I'll go, okay, I'll try that because I know what I'm getting myself into. If I see some crazy name, then I have to pick up the bottle. I got to spin it around. I got to read what it is.
You got to do more work to find out what you're getting into.
Right. And as a person who likes creativity sometimes, that kind of sucks because it's like, even myself, I'll fall into the trap of like, I see this says chocolate on it. I'm going to take this right now. Or this says Imperial Stout. I'm going to take this right now. But I like that there's a little descriptor too. It gives you a little bit more of mm-hmm. a hint.
Yeah, yeah, I would agree. Especially in hoppy beers. You know, I want to know what you're kind of doing with this, you know, like, and some of them aren't full descriptors, but they're alluding descriptors. Like, to use Freem as an example, I think Freem is such a great example for this. The simpler kind of names. They're Down Under IPA. Instantly, I know that has Southern Hemisphere hops because it's Down Under.
Yep.
So even though it's like a playful kind of way to name the beer, that name is still a descriptor. That double yum from Barrelick. You're like, oh, this is going to be like a juicy, hazy IPA.
Right.
Like you can kind of tell already, even though it's not a full-on descriptor, but it's an alluding descriptor.
Well, that's another one of the things I have here, too. We'll get to that in a second. Number three, I have thematic, where every beer in, not every beer, but a lot of the beers in your brewery follow a theme. Mm. First thing that popped in my mind was Deschutes. You've got beers named after different places in Oregon.
Right.
Right? You've got Black Butte Porter. You've got Mirapon Pale Ale. So on and so forth. So that's one. You've also got Ninkasi does their dinosaur themed beers.
Yep, they love their dinosaurs.
So I'm a fan of that. As I think if I'm going to pick my favorite, I think that's probably my favorite because not only does it tell you what the beer is, it gives you, I don't know, almost like a sentimental connection to that beer.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I talked about this a lot on the podcast. For me, Black Butte Porter is still one of my favorite beers out there. And it's not just Deschutes Porter. It's Black Butte Porter.
Right.
And
it's its name. It's iconic.
Right. And because of that, there's like a little extra for me when I'm drinking it. I'm like, I'm having a Black Butte Porter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not having a Deschutes Porter. Hell, they have a Baltic Porter now that they're selling out there in the supermarkets even. It's not just that. It's their Black Butte Porter. I'm having their Mirapon Pale Ale.
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't really it's just general, but their Pacific Wonderland Lager, right? It's all stuff based on regionally in the Pacific Northwest and in Oregon. And I think that's really rad.
Yeah.
That's my favorite type of naming is when there's a theme to it and you can go and see all of them together when you're looking at a shelf.
Well, I agree. I think this kind of relates back to the brewery branding episode that we did. And that theme becomes part of who you are. Like the dinosaurs with Ninkasi is such a great example because even though you had that Triceratops beer was such a giant beer at the time when they came out with that you could recognize it everywhere. And you want to have part of those names and that kind of all factor into how your beer is viewed on the shelf from the average consumer too. That if you have this theme that you can kind of already assume, okay, well, I've had Black Butte Porter. I've been to Black Butte before. Oh, that'd be cool if they named a beer off Mirapon. That's one of my favorite places. And then bam, you see it and you're like, well, I got to try that. I love Mirapon. That's my favorite place in the world.
Yeah, I really, really do appreciate it. There was one that just popped in my head. Oh, Stormbreaker does this too. All their beers are related to storms in some sense or weather or they've a lot of their beers. Actually, I think it's almost all of them if you look at the
Ride is Rain Pale.
It's all weather related. And I just think that's cool. It shows creativity while also keeping the brand your brand.
Right.
So I guess this is pretty related to the brewery branding episode in some sense, but that's why it's my favorite because it gives you that little extra.
Yeah, I think you just have to be careful with that and in the names of your beers of not getting too shticky. You know, I think the geographical aspect is great, and I think that your examples have shown that is successful. I think you just have to be careful that you don't just get like kitschy and really bad puns and stretching it out to fit into whatever your theme is.
Well, that kind of leads to my last one, and it's being creative.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in this instance, the more creative you are, the worse it is.
Yeah. Like don't outthink the room kind
of
thing.
Right. And there have been cool ones. Like, but it's usually one-off beers. Like, I'll use Breakside as an example. You guys had a Jaromir Lager.
Yeah.
Which I thought was an amazing name because I'm a huge sports fan.
Yeah.
And I know Jaromir Jagr, and he's one of the greatest hockey players of all time.
Yeah.
It's a great name.
Right.
But I can't imagine bottling that and putting that on a shelf and someone goes, Jaromir Lager?
Oh, it's tough.
Jeremiah Lager?
Oh, it's tough. So a little history on that beer, why we love that beer so much. First, you know, we love the beer itself, so it turned out really well. But it was born at Deakum, at the Deakum Pub, and they are huge hockey fans up there. Like the bar staff, the serving staff, managers, kitchen, all that stuff. They're all, since day one, have been like big, big hockey fans up there. So when developing this Czech lager recipe years ago, they decided to name it after one of the greatest Czech hockey players of all time, in Jaromir Lager. So then fast forward to this year, we do a huge batch of it in Milwaukee. It goes out to the public. I'm serving it in the pubs. I can't tell you how many times, if you don't know hockey, that's a tough name. Jaromir, and why did you miss the E in lager?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
And so it's great. It's a great name if you get the reference. And if you don't get the reference, it's just you kind of stumble through it. I don't think it really takes away. I don't mean our beer specifically. I mean a beer that name that is creative that somebody might not get the joke. You know, like Stormbreaker had a House Martell hazy IPA. And you'd just be like, okay, House Myrtle,
right.
You know, or whatever. Like, you don't have to necessarily understand it. I don't think it takes away from people ordering the beer, but it does make it a little clunky.
Well, it's different, though. In the pub itself, I think it's fine.
Right.
Because you have a list of all of that brewery's beers, and you've got descriptors with them.
And you've got a bartender that's going to tell you what it's called.
Exactly.
Or a server.
But what I'm talking about here, at least, is with just going to the store, going to the bottle shop, and looking on the shelf and seeing it and going,
oh, yeah.
What is that?
Yeah.
Right? Like, why would I buy that?
Mm-hmm.
Another example of this is one that we've talked about on the show before, is Rogue's Hazelutely Choctabulous.
Ooh.
Which is their Snickers beer, the
you
secret
used to,
beer.
Used to mix, yeah.
And they made it together, and it's a good beer.
Yeah.
But, I mean, what a stupid name.
Yeah, well, he can't say Snickers,
right.
Obviously.
Right, but I mean, that?
Yeah, that's what you came up with?
And you're bottling that and putting it on shelves. It's like, I guess it's like, hey, I know there's chocolate and hazelnut in this beer.
Yeah.
But really?
Yeah.
So to me, I think sometimes the creativity gets in the way of the beer on the shelves. If in the brewery, do whatever the hell you want.
Right.
Because like you said, someone can explain it to you and you've got a menu that has a description of the beer and it doesn't really matter. And if you're doing taster trays, then great. You can just kind of just circle it and be like, I'll try this, 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 and this, and it's fine. But if you want to mass sell a beer, then I think the simpler or the more descriptive, the better.
Right. And I think there's some tricks too sometimes, depending on your style of beer. Like if you put a name up there, let's try to create something simple but stupid, like Down in the Valley.
Okay.
Okay. It's just called Down in the Valley. And it's because you made it. It's a single hopped IPA that you only use, let's say, Cascade hops from Yakima Valley. Okay. But it's just called Down in the Valley. Okay, and some people, they, what's Down in the Valley? Oh, it's a single hop IPA. Oh, okay, can I try that? Or you just say single hop IPA.
Or you can say Valley single hop IPA.
Yeah, and then that's sometimes, because if you get a little too creative in your name sometimes, it might sound great internally in-house, but then the person up on the board is like, Down in the Valley, okay, I don't want that. You know, ooh, a golden ale, okay. And then I'll just have the IPA. You know, even though that other small batch IPA might have been better. So sometimes it's that tricky balance of trying to make sure that you don't, like you were saying, the being over creative. Also, don't outthink the room. Don't make it difficult for people to try to figure out what it is.
And that's, I think there's a great middle ground there.
I already forgot what that Rogue beer name was because right. I was like, and I'm done.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't care. That could be the greatest beer I've ever had in my life.
And
I don't care.
That's why I'll circle back and say the thematic stuff is my favorite. Now, it doesn't have to be a theme necessarily, but it's because it allows you to be creative while also giving you a great descriptor of what the beer mm-hmm. is. So in this random example, if you called it like the Valley Single Hop IPA,
mm-hmm.
then you get a name on it, which is cool. Right. And you can say, oh, I'll have the Valley. But in the beer name, it's a single hop IPA.
Right.
So it's not difficult.
Exactly.
And it's funny because I always view creativity as a great thing. And if you're funny or if you've put puns and stuff, like, it's great and it's funny. But if you're naming things, and I think with beer specifically, take a step back and be a little simpler, in my opinion.
Yeah, I just remembered, I always forget about this brewery, mostly because I just don't care for their stuff a whole lot. But Mac and Jack's has a really great theme. They have their African Amber.
Serengeti Wheat.
With the lion on it, the Serengeti Wheat. I believe it has a cheetah on it. They have their 2-ton IPA, which
elephant.
Has an elephant on it. Yeah, like, that works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know what the beer is, and
yep.
it has a cool name.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Perfect.
Perfect.
Yep.
I think that's my favorite. What is your favorite? You haven't given, what is your favorite way to name a beer? It sounds like you're going with the simple or the descriptor.
Yeah, I'm probably the simple or the descriptor. I mean, I do enjoy as much as the next person something clever, you know, but I got to get it. Like Jaromir Lager, if I walked in and saw that, I'd be like, that's got to be a Czech lager, and whoever thought of that is brilliant,
yeah.
And I'm sure someone's already thought about it before.
Right, right.
sort of thing. But so, I'm a fan of, you know, the creative names and stuff. I think I lean more towards, like, the Down Under IPA from Freem. Slight descriptor, but also its own name. Simple, to the point, lets me know what I'm getting into.
Well, there is episode 41, Names.
Beer names.
Beer names, brewery names, names.
Oh, and for the record, everybody talks about this stuff all the time. Like, how cool would it be to own a brewery and get to pick out the name of the brewery and then get to choose all the names for the beers? That sounds so much fun. It's not. It's super hard, and it's really frustrating sometimes. There's this giant, we have this giant list of potential beer names that keeps growing and growing and growing because when you read through them, unless you were part of the group of people that thought that was funny, they're all really stupid names because it's not, it's just not easy,
right?
You know, and if you really value having strong names for stuff, it doesn't come across as easy as you would think. It's like when you look, it's like when you think of a songwriter and you're like, oh man, Taylor Swift sure does suck. I could write a better song than she can. Then do it. You know,
right?
Then do it.
Yeah.
And I'm not a big fan of Taylor Swift. I'm just using her as an example. If that's what you think, then go write a song. If you think you can name beers, go name beers. And I'll bet you 99 out of 100 of them probably suck.
it does appear way harder than it seems, mm-hmm. unless you're just going IPA.
Yeah, it is. There is a fun aspect to it. You know, there is a really fun thing.
Anything creative is fun.
Especially if you can have the name of your beer make sense, not be random like whatever that Rogue beer was, but also have a little like inside joke with yourself too. You can do that as well. It's just tricky. This is the name of your beer. This is what people are going to ask. They're going to say things, you know,
that's what they're going to say to people.
Yeah.
Too,
you know,
when they're spreading their knowledge.
Yeah. You don't want to be like, hey, have you had bleepity bleep, bleep, bleep from blank brewery? And it's like, what did you just say? You know,
I'm not talking to you ever again.
Yeah. You can't just have,
what did you say about my mother?
Yeah. Like Revision has a beer called Reno SF. And I don't know how they got away with that, but it is. It literally has the F word on their can.
That's crazy.
Not even like when Double Mountain did Cluster F, now it's just Cluster. They at least had the pound sign, hashtag for you youngins out there, of the U in the F word. This one, nope, it's just Reno as bleep. And you're like, sitting on shelves in restaurants that kids go to. Like, you gotta be a little careful, you know?
You do. Although, I guess if you can get away with it. There's a little bit of a power trip there too. You're like, look at what we got. Look at that. It's on the shelf.
Can you believe they did that?
Yeah. Oh my God.
I can't believe we're getting away with it.
All right. We've got beer of the week coming up next. And I may or may not have already hinted at what the beer of the week is this week. So stay tuned here on Beers and Nuts with Mike Lynch and Patrick Harris. Beer of the Week time here on Beers on Us with Mike Lynch and Patrick Harris. And before we get to that, you have names. You have Star Wars names.
Yeah, I totally forgot to do this. And this is another interesting thing, just not to go on too big of a tangent. Some of these beers, I know this is not the name of the beer, but the brewery is kind enough to let the bottle shop change the name for the day.
Oh, that's cool.
So that happens from time to time.
Okay.
But West Coast Grocery has a hazy IPA called Some Like It Hoff. Logsdon Farmhouse has a Brett Saison with mangoes called Mango Fett. There is a cider with toasted oats, raisins, and cinnamons from Reverend Nat's called Oatmeal Wookie. What else? Pono has a blood orange and a touch of lime farmhouse called Uncle Owen's Tatooine Farmhouse.
Okay.
Barelick Brewing has Django Juice, a hybrid hazy IPA. There's a Battle Stations IPA from Von Ebert. She's Fast Enough for You, Old Man IPA from Level. I'm in the IPA stretch right here. Ecliptic Return of the Jedi IPA. That's a great one. I like that.
Which ones have been not the right name so far?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying I've seen that. Well, I'm about to get to one, but let's see. Coalition Jakku's Delight.
Okay.
Stormbreaker Son of Django. Now that's the real name of the beer. I know that's the real name. That beer's been called that for a while. Culmination has Attack of the Clones, which is their amber Mexican lager. It's modeled after Negro Modelo.
Okay.
But I know that beer is called Col Modelo.
Oh, okay.
But it's cool that they allow them to call it Attack of the Clones. Like, that's really rad. Luke's Severed Hand, Rausch beer, Galaxy Far, Far Away Imperial Stout. And then, yeah, that's it.
Cool.
And then some other beers that's just their name.
Like, and you said that's Dark happening Star and at Super Nebula. Imperial Tap House, you said?
Imperial Bottle Shop Bottle on Shop. Division on Saturday from noon to 11:30. And I'm probably going to get there like 2:30, 3 o'clock. Why not?
Cool.
I love Star Wars.
Go hang out with Patrick if you can.
Yeah, with a ton of soccer on Saturday, I don't have a ton of time to do Star Wars stuff. So I'm just going to get it in the middle while I can. Let someone else put the movies on.
Right.
Although I was a little offended. They were like, we're only going to play, what are they going to play? They're playing 4, 5, 6, and Rogue One, maybe 7.
Okay.
And they, because those are the only ones that matter. That's not true. All right? They all matter, except for Last Jedi. They all matter, except for Last Jedi.
And
Revenge of the Sith is my second favorite Star Wars, brah.
What's episode one called?
Phantom Menace?
Yeah.
Dude, cut out the pod racing and Jar Jar Binks. That movie's dope.
Yeah, but that's like most that of the movie.
That is the best lightsaber scene in all 8 movies.
Yeah, but most of the movie is the longest pod racing scene of all time. And it's a lot of Jar Jar Binks.
It's an extended pee and smoke break, dude. It was brilliantly decided for adults. Like, oh, Anakin's going to win this. I'll be back in a minute.
All right, little baby Anakin. Let's drink the beer of the week this week. And for the first time in a while, this is a beer that one of us has had. And it is the brewery I was talking about in the beginning. And it is a beer that I got at the brewery that I was talking about at the beginning. And it is Mazama Brewing's Double. And this is the one beer that I got when I was there because I knew I couldn't have more than one. And I went, well, there's a lot of beers there that I want to try. But because what I've seen in bottles all over the place is their Belgian-style beers, the double, the triple, the quad, I have to get a double. Actually, I could have gotten the quad because that would have been right up my alley, but that was like 100,000% alcohol. And I was like, yeah, I'm driving.
It's definitely not up my alley.
So I'm going to go ahead and get the double. And quite happy with what I tasted. So I wanted to share it with you.
Nice. Thank you. This is definitely your kind of style of beer. I'm
well,
glad.
I thought it was more in the middle because it's not like jet black, dark,
oh,
rich.
I don't mean that. I just mean malt forward.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Yeah. I know you love your malts.
You enjoyed the smell when you took a smell.
Well, that's because I smelled something. I don't know if I actually enjoy the smell of this beer or not, but right now, Mazama, thank you. God bless you, because I can smell something. I'm still a little congested, as you probably just heard me sniffle, but I smelt it, and I could smell things that make beer.
So here is the description of the beer. Our interpretation of a rich Trappist-style ale with raisin and plum notes and lots of fruitiness you can come to expect in Belgian-style ales. And I think what you get right through on the first sip is you get that raisin and plum, bam, pow, right in the kissa. And it is a little bit rich, and it is smooth at the back end, though, so you're not kind of like stuck with this really heavy beer taste in your mouth. I think it's a really, really well-done double. I really do.
Wow, I haven't had a beer taste like this in a while. Like anything. But I mean, but this is really standing out to me. I agree with you with the plums, for sure. It's definitely sweet. It's a little sweeter for my liking, but it's keeping the body smooth and the finish is smooth. I'd like a touch of bitterness, I think, but that could just be my palate always constantly wanting a touch of bitterness.
Does this style tend to have bitterness in it, the
doubles? No, it's like a strong brown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I was saying.
Yeah, so it's meant to be malt-driven. It's meant to have a little sweetness to it. I love
it's kind of desserty.
Yeah, I love the foam and the head retention's really nice on this beer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think those are sometimes some understated things to just kind of...
Is this your first ever Mazama beer?
No, I've had some Mazama beer, but it's been a while. I'm not going to lie, it's been a while. I really don't like the designs on their cans, so I end up not buying it.
Although they seem to be moving more towards it. It's a very simple...
This is slick. I think this is really cool.
And I don't know if it's just because they're doing it on the double, the triple, and the quad bottles that they have out there. These are what, the 500 milliliters or 550 or whatever it is?
500?
Yeah. It's a really, really cool kind of labeling series.
It's got like a faint Mount Hood, yep. Either exploding or a cloud behind it. I can't quite tell.
Well, it's up to interpretation.
Ooh.
But I had never had these guys before, and when I saw it there, I went, okay, I'll try it. We'll walk and buy it right now. And I'm very, very pleased. And I want to go back and try, because they had a really interesting looking stout on there, and I want to try the quad, and I want to try their IPA, and they had a pale ale there called the Tillicum Pale Ale, or maybe it was a Pilsner. Which I heard a couple of people order when we were there, so I guess it's a good
Might
one
be a
for
go
them.
To, yeah.
So I want to give these guys a little bit more of a go. And if you guys have been to Mazama before, let me know what, or let both of us know what beers you've had from them that you've liked. But I like this a lot because it's sweet and rich, but not so sweet and rich that you can't have more than one sip.
Yeah,
it's got a good smoothness to it.
Yeah, I dig this for the style. I mean, I'm not the, you know, I'm by no means a Belgian palate by any inspiration, but this is good for what it is. I mean, I don't really drink a whole lot of this style, so I don't have a whole lot to compare it. But I'll tell you what, I don't really taste oxidization. I don't really taste any big kind of flaws. Like I said, it's a little sweet for me, but it finishes really smooth.
Yeah.
I'd like a touch of bitterness, but that might just be my palate.
There's kind of a creaminess, too, because of the head retention.
Yeah.
It's like...
it's very creamy is a very good descriptor.
Yeah. And some of it just has to do with when the head... I'm going to change how I say this. When you taste the head, it adds a creamy element to it that kind of helps cut some of the sweetness too. Because it is a very sweet beer. I will say that right now. It is very sweet. It is very forward in that plum and raisin and fruit flavors. And you get it in the smell too. Right when you smell it, you get that fruit and you're like, oh, it's about to go down right here.
Right.
And it hits that. I think sometimes I struggle with when a beer smells very different than it tastes. Because I think the smell is supposed to give you like an indication of what is about to happen. And if it's very different, it kind of throws you off a little bit and it doesn't match exactly what you're drinking. This matches perfectly. You get the smell. This is going to be fruity. You drink it. Wow, I like that plum flavor in there. It's really fruity. You get the smoothness of the head and you're like, okay, good to go for another sip.
Yeah.
I enjoy it.
Yeah, well done. Kudos to you guys.
I see this multiple places. I've seen it at New Seasons. Obviously, I got this at John's Marketplace today, but keep an eye out for this. It's in a very, very sleek, kind of hard to read, depending on the light you're in, but a very sleek bottle. Mazama Brewing on the top, doubling kind of script in the middle with, I think it is Mount Hood in the background.
Exploding.
Yeah, it could be exploding.
I think it's a cloud.
It could just be a cloud, yeah. Anyway, so give this a try, and if you've had Mazama Brewing before, again, let us know. Social media, I'm at Mike Lynch 27, Patrick's at PDD085. I'm on Twitter, Patrick's on Instagram. And wherever you find us, once again, please leave us a subscription and a review and rate us because it helps us a lot.
We'd appreciate it.
And keep letting us know about everything else that you're drinking and trying on social media as well. It's been a lot of fun interacting with you guys through that as well. Hopefully you guys enjoyed the episode. We're kind of flying by the seat of our pants right now, but I think next week we're going to try to do another on-location episode.
Yep, I just sent a message as Mike was talking.
It's going to be either next week or the week after. We might have a quick hit coming up in a couple of weeks because there's going to be a couple of vacations for both of us. So we're going to need to do a kind of a quick episode in there. We still want to do the music one coming up with Gustav. We just got to get that set up. And our next style will be coming up fairly soon as well.
Yeah. I'll start thinking about that.
So we have we got a couple of things in the plans, but our next could very well be on location. And we'll let you guys know when that one comes out. Thank you guys so much for listening. We appreciate it.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.